Hey folks, welcome to the Percussion Loft, the podcast from Gombops. I'm your host, Rich Mangiacaro. Glad you could join us as we give you an inside look into the lives and careers of the world's greatest drummers and percussionists. Last year, we celebrated our 70th year as the leading percussion manufacturer since 1954. Visit our YouTube channel to see all of our great video content, including the exciting video El Madero, which celebrates our milestone anniversary with an ensemble of our amazing artists. Also, don't forget to check out our previous episodes, too, which can be found wherever you podcast, and make sure you subscribe and share it with your friends. We really appreciate the support. That was a track called Dona Ubenza from our guest today, Carolina Cohen's band, Caro Cohen Quarteto. This, our 20th episode, features Carolina Cohen from Argentina. Caro, as she's known professionally, traveled early in life to Cuba, Peru, and New York to hone her skills. She came to us years ago when we were instantly moved by her talent, ultimately featuring her at NAMM one year as a featured performer at our popular Sabian Gombops live event. Caro has performed with many great artists in her career, traveling the world, giving masterclasses and concerts. She leads her own group, Caro Cohen Quarteto, which we're listening to right now, and remains one of the most in-demand percussionists in Argentina. Last year, in celebration of our 70th anniversary, we premiered the video El Madero and featured Caro along with our other exceptional players, where she leads off the solo sections, performing a blazing conga solo. Check that out on our YouTube channel and as well on our homepage. I'm sure you're going to dig it. We're so excited to welcome her to the Percussion Loft. Here's my conversation with Caro Cohen. Me persigno por si acaso no falla que Dios exista y me lleve. Caro, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Rich. Very happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. You're our 20th episode today.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah.
Very happy to be. Thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome. So everybody, Caro is joining us today from Buenos Aires, and I also wanted to introduce her father. Ricky is joining us too and helping us with translation, so welcome Ricky to the show too.
And how are you?
I'm good. It's nice to see you. I think didn't we actually meet once when we did the live video show years ago
in YouTube? Yes,
at my home.
In your home?
Yes.
On YouTube, yes. I remember was the video, no?
When we did the video during COVID, I think it was.
Yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, it's so good to see you. It's been a long time. I've been following you and watching all your videos, and we've been sharing your videos. And when I introduced you today, I let everybody know that about the El Madero, the 70th anniversary video that you played on for us. And so I told him,
I love it.
It was such a fantastic performance.
Thank you. I felt really honored to be there between some important, great percussionists of representing Gombops. And be one of them for me was very honored.
I'm proud.
I feel honored to be there. Really, thank you for calling me.
Oh man! And you were the first solo. You were the first of all the soloists. You were the first one. And when we were mixing that, I was in the studio with Alex and the engineer. And Alex was just like, "Woo! Look at her." We were both so digging your solo. Your solo was so great. You know what?
Thank you very, very much. Really.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the performance at NAMM years ago when you performed. Remember at the Gombop Sabian Live event, and you performed, and I remember watching everybody. Everybody was like, "Whoa, who is that?" It was great.
For me, it was I was so nervous that day, but very, very happy. Very happy then to be part of this beautiful family of Gombops.
Do you remember the first time you came to NAMM?
No, but I was with my husband.
Yeah.
a few years ago, maybe.
Okay.
10. I have to see, but wow.
I know.
A long time.
And now you're a mama.
Yes, of a very nice chiquitito.
How old is your child?
2 years and 5 months.
Ah, it's great. Yes.
David.
Crazy about music.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Really.
Classical.
Yes, classical. But classical.
Oh.
He made when he has 1 year and a half, do for the first time the clave of rumba clave. And I said, my God. But he always do like, okay, mama, yes, see, I can do the clave, but I don't care. I want to play Tchaikovsky and Mahler and the cymbals.
Really?
Yes. He loved to do that. Then I have to share some videos.
Well, how did he get influenced with classical music?
Because my husband and me, yes. But my father too. No, because my husband and me, we listen a lot. All my life, I listen classical music.
Ah.
Because of my father and my mother.
Uh-huh.
And I was in a
conservatory.
Uh-huh. And I shared with my dad some orchestra of
baroque orchestra, baroque.
She was a timbalist. Yes, baroque music.
Okay.
And a lot of experience with the classic and baroque music.
And, yeah.
Yes, and my husband play. He's Brazilian. He played popular music, but he played classic too.
Okay.
And we love a lot.
Okay.
And when he was very young, we put Tchaikovsky, Mahler, and that things.
Okay.
Then I will share.
Oh, that's cool. Well, that starts out my first question. So my first question is, how did you get into music? What was the early days for you, and how did you start music in your life?
Always in my house, because of my father and my mom, there was a lot of music all the time.
Different types.
Jazz, classic, rock, Latino, Rubén Blades, and all Latin music, all kind of Latin music.
Her parents, were in a choir.
Oh, okay. Yes. They both in a choir, and I was always see the rehearsals.
I see.
Of them, no? So very young, I listen a lot. My father has a bongo.
Uh-huh. I got a bongo in Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico.
I like that also.
All my life, I has a bongo in my house, but I saw the bongo from far.
Yeah,
no?
Right.
And I start 10 years to play with 10 years old. I start piano.
Yeah.
And then I did 3 years. And then I decide to change to guitar play.
Okay.
Guitar. Yes, because I not enjoying too much the moment of studying. I love the instrument, but not the moment of studying the instrument. No.
Yeah.
So I changed to guitar. When I changed to guitar, I don't know if 4 months, I think. And then I start to see the bongo with another eyes.
Yeah.
Because with my sister, when I had 16 years old, I empecé a ir a bailar salsa.
Ah, she went to dance salsa.
I start to dance salsa with my sister and como yo escuchaba Rubén Blades de chica.
As listening Rubén Blades, she got really
curious. I had very curious that what happened there with the percussion. And when I start dancing salsa, I said, oh, the bell, the congas, what happened there? And I asked about one friend if she know some professor of percussion, no? And when I had 17 years old,
I was
17 years old, I start to study congas.
Okay.
But I buy the congas without not knowing nothing how play that. and I start play congas with 17.
Okay.
But one more thing. When I had the bongos in my house, one time my mother did a party with we call guitarreada, like a jam,
okay,
you know, with friends,
right?
And I decide to
got the bongo
and I start to play sin saber nada, no,
without knowing anything.
Sure. And I start to play and I said, oh my god, this, I want this.
Well,
there was the moment I said, I love this.
It's interesting that you say that, because watching you, you play with a very natural style. Your technique is very natural. It looks like this came to you naturally. And when you're saying you were 17 years old, you say?
Yes.
And when you picked up bongos and it sung to you, that was the instrument.
It was earlier, maybe 15.
15, okay.
Or 16.
But you started out playing guitar and other instruments, but when you... But when you played piano or percussion, when you played bongo, that felt like, this is my instrument.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That you know what? That shows in your playing, though, Caro.
Oh,
that shows because
you're
very natural the way you play, and you're I want to talk to you about this in this interview, the way you your technique is very comfortable.
For me, it was very difficult in the beginning, because I had tendinitis and a lot of things with my muscles. And for that, I think es la culpa, como se decía, que is the blame of the tendinitis that I play like play today, because I had to
modify
the way I played and put an stop in the way I played very hard and with a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But I learned to study with calm and without
anxiety.
Yeah. That was the part more hard of my way.
Who were your early influences?
I think my first influence was my teachers, or on that moment, that I have to all my professor, all my student, my teachers were very important, each of them, two of them was very important. One for the style, the language, that is Ariel Perez, that is a Cuban percussion. He lives in Argentina for a long time. And the other is Chaqueño también. Another Uwe Reyes, that is a Peruvian percussionist. For the style of Peruvian, I learned a lot of him. But the very important person in my life, speaking of technique, was El Chaqueño Martinez, Juanjo El Chaqueño Martinez, that for me is maybe the best conguero of this country.
Okay.
That desafortunadamente.
Unluckily.
Unfortunately has ACB.
Vascular attack.
Muscular
problem, cerebral problem.
Right.
Yes, but he se mantiene enseñando a stroke.
Oh, okay.
Pero se mantiene, él sigue enseñando.
But he keeps on teaching.
Okay.
Keeps on teaching. With that problem, not teaching, teaching of style. Not only style or not only technique. He teach the from life. Se enseña de la vida.
Yeah.
It's more elevator, spiritually speaking.
I understand.
It's a person.
Yeah.
Very important.
Right.
Very important.
Was this private private instruction, private teaching?
Yes, private.
Did you have music in school too, like school music programs and band?
But not popular. I have in conservatory 6 years.
Uh-huh.
Classic music. But then I decided to quit because I felt lost.
Okay.
And I think.
May I say some words you told me?
Yes.
He said, I think I'm losing classical percussion and popular percussion and Latin percussion also. So I have to decide because I'm getting worse than both.
Oh.
So she decided to leave the classical percussion.
I see.
And got into a fully into the Latin percussion.
Yeah.
Yes, and when I decided not was easy to decide to quit the university because my parents always say to me that finish the university.
Sure,
that
sure.
I think is very important. But I really felt very lost in that moment. And when I decided to quit, I start to study more hours, more focus with the professor I wanted. And I think I start to grow up.
You understand.
I decide my career. That is not easy to decide alone, because you make your own university of life. But was really that I wanted to do, and I feel happy to decide that.
Vuelan al sol, dejas migajas para volver, no pasa nada, ya pasó, no pasa nada, ya pasó.
When you were young and you were starting to play, did you have any influences of other female percussionists or drummers?
Well, I always loved Sheila E.
Uh-huh.
No había percusión, muchos percusionistas ni menos mujeres. Acá y en el mundo no se conocían tanto.
Yes, she says that there weren't too many women percussionists, women, female.
Yeah.
And in the world, and here, I didn't know any.
Yeah.
Or maybe in that moment, surely exists. But no, the social media.
Yeah, sure.
To know.
No, there were women, female percussionists, but like amateurs or.
Yes, but.
Not fully professional.
Sure.
Here, a lot.
Not hired by other groups.
Yes, but I think the social media help us to know a lot of women. So today you see, oh my God, a lot of very great women. One is from Gombos too.
Yeah.
Daimi, la cubana.
Yeah, she's Daimi, very good.
I love her.
She's very good, yes.
Yes, but one more thing about here in Argentina. Here in Argentina, there are starting to have much more women percussionists, very good professional, but was started to appear with one law that we have here about la ley de cupos. ¿Cómo se dice?
Ah, yes. There used to be, I don't know if it...
Yes. Still, I don't know until when.
A law that there was a minimum of female necessary in each group.
Exactly.
You had to have
a female,
females, women, uh-huh, in the music groups.
Oh,
yes, that during the beginning was a little polemic.
Okay,
because only for you to be woman, okay, you could have a place
only for being woman.
But I think was very important that because of that appears a lot of women that we never known if we didn't have that.
Right.
It was very important to have that law for can appears woman because women. You has women because you have to trust an another musicians that maybe with a prejudice.
Like a prejudice?
Yes, prejudice. So you say.
I understand. Yeah.
So, with this law, you have a lot of women.
Well,
now you see here a lot
of them are her pupils.
A lot of, maybe almost all.
So, how old were you when you first started playing professionally? When you started playing in gigs?
My first time in a stage was at 16 years old.
Okay.
With my mother, with Chabuca Granda tribute. I played bombo legüero and guitar, electric guitar. No. very different thing.
Yeah.
But was my first time on a stage. Maybe, yes. When I decide to quit the conservatory, I start to learn Peruvian music with a percussionist that the name is Uber Reyes. That was my professor that I learned a lot with him too, of Peruvian style music. And when I quit the conservatory, I start to study with him. And in the second class, no, in the first class, he told me, okay, I want it in my group. Then the next class, I will teach you all the phrases we have in the music. And I said, my God, okay, very happy. Yes, I want it. So I start to play with him very, I don't know, 18.
There were 5 big 2 meters. 7 feet tall black people with her in the middle playing cajon peruano.
Yes, was an experience very intense.
Okay.
But maybe with maybe 20 years, something like that.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So you're both of
but I
Ricky and your mom are both vocalists?
Yes.
Okay.
They
I keep on singing. And
the two. My mother too.
Her mother, we are divorced, but her mother sings in a small group she made where Carolina is the percussionist.
Okay.
Yes.
In contact with music.
Well, I can see where you got your good voice, Caro. You have a beautiful voice too.
More or less. Thank you.
Do you?
I consider myself. We say, cantora.
Yeah.
Or cantante.
Uh huh.
I think there are different things.
Okay.
I consider myself as a cantora.
So what is
more
the
cantante?
What is the difference between?
I don't know if in English.
Maybe the difference could be the technique and the study.
Ah.
Yes, I'm not put. Oh, it's cutting here. Sorry. Now you back. Maybe the cantante, the professional singer. Maybe,
I see.
Yes, is more has more technique,
okay.
And maybe she can sing whatever you put in front. But I can't sing a lot of styles. For example, I'm not good in jazz,
right.
Nothing, tango. Maybe, But Latin music, Latin more Caribbean music,
yeah.
I love to sing or some boleros. Or I, for that, I consider myself, I like to sing.
What about dancing? Do you learn to dance dance when you're young in tango or?
How I say in Spanish, we have a phrase.
Yeah.
That is, es una materia pendiente.
It's a missing task.
It's a missing task. I want to learn.
I see.
I hope I can have time to learn dance tango because I love. But I dance salsa.
I see. Dancing is a big part of the culture of Latin music, and you learn when you're young that you know everybody learns some sort of dancing with the music as part. Dance is a big part of that music.
Yes, exactly. But I think the same as you, from the people, for example, in Cuba, in Colombia, in another countries,
yeah,
that they have that. When grow up, when go outside of the his mom's,
yes,
and start to listen that clave, I learn and I hear, listen, I think a little late.
I see.
A little late.
Yes, I wanted to add something to what you said, Bridget. We don't have Latin music here.
Exactly.
Right.
We don't, when we are born,
right,
we can listen tango, rock because
rock
of rock. We have what we call national rock.
Uh-huh.
It's a different rock to the mm-hmm. general one. But we don't listen to Latin music and we don't dance Latin. We have to incorporate it.
I understand.
Yes, exactly. We have exactly. Maybe I have a very young folklore of Argentina. Maybe I saw people dancing folklore sooner than Latin Caribbean
right.
music.
Right.
But I always say that we didn't have here the culture of tambor. Of drum,
right?
Of conga. We don't have that culture.
Gandhi.
When I buy my first congas, I didn't know where I can take info.
Yeah,
where I only had programs of cumbia,
uh-huh.
but it's not cumbia colombiana. It's a cumbia argentina that I didn't like it, that kind of music. But was the unique place that I could see a conga.
Okay.
When I was in Cuba, my first time was with 27, because here was very difficult to have money to
yeah.
travel during in that moment with me. I'm started to teach and earn my own money.
Uh-huh.
So I decide before I leave alone, I wanted to travel to Cuba.
Yeah.
Because was that or I live alone or I travel. So I said my father's keep me in his how do you say in his
under his wing.
Exactly, under his wings. A little more,
yeah.
To can, ¿cómo se dice? Guardar plata.
To save money to have for
that travel I wanted to make.
How
it
long
was my dream to go to Cuba?
Did you spend a lot
so
of time
I
in Cuba?
Cuba? No, one time, 1 month.
Uh-huh.
But was the month more. More intense of my life. And then I was 1 month, yes, 1 month in Cuba and 1 week in Peru. That was incredible. That travel means a lot. And and happens a lot of things.
Yeah.
I played with Eva Ion, that is a Peruvian singer that I admire a lot. I learned with a great percussionist of rumberos of Cuba that I admire, Alzapiri, Maximino, a lot of Cuban rumberos. And then in Peru, I learned with Marco Campos, Gillo Parodi. Gillo Parodi, I learned, I know gombos my first time, maybe in that travel of Peru.
Oh, from Gillo.
Has, gombos.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
and I said, what is this brand?
Gillo was your first introduction to gombos.
Yes, yes. Was very interesting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But I saw very little because it was one day and I learned cajon, not too much congas.
Yeah.
But was interesting because I didn't know gombos.
Yeah.
And then I know a Argentinian percussionist that I admire a lot, and he played with all the musician of Argentina, that is Facundo Guevara. He maybe is the only one here that has the gombos, very old gombos, Mariano serie.
Oh.
Maybe the unique percussionist here that has gombo in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So did you start to travel more after you did the Cuba and the Peruvian trip? Did you start to perform more outside of Argentina after that?
Yes. Yes, then I went a lot of... In Peru, I went a lot of time. I went to Peru. And then Colombia too. Chile, my mother Chilean.
Okay.
Chilean. But I went to Chilean to play too. And then I traveled to New York years later. I traveled to New York because I was looking about the Berkeley of congas.
Oh, okay.
But in the street, not university, no?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to study, to see and to learn, seeing and listening another percussionist of New York. And I back here with my head, exploded. I don't know how to say.
Yeah.
Only for seeing that kind of percussionist, the level.
Yeah.
I was very impressed how that kind of percussionist play the congas. We don't have a lot of congueros here. Yes, yes, Shair Sala. I wanted to have classes with a lot of percussionists.
Yes.
And Shair told me this. Look, you have a lot of resources. You have a lot. You have to learn to put in the good spot each resource.
Right.
You have to play, not take more classes. Play. Have your experience.
Right.
And Shair invite me to play in all his gigs, all his, really, he's a very good person. I love him too much. In New York. I play in all his gigs. Yes, always. Come, play with me. And I learn a lot there.
It's great.
A lot of details that you don't aprendes.
You can't learn that.
Yes.
Yeah,
you don't only learn
it's the best experience. It's the best experience. That's the on-the-job training.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So this was years before you came to Los Angeles to the first time you went to NAMM?
No, was more or less. Yes, pero no tanto. ¿Cuánto?
Yo para ir a Israel.
No. Eso fue mucho después. Let me. First I was in Los Angeles. We meet, but I don't decide nothing. Maybe I have to be there 2 times more.
Yeah.
No, maybe in the second travel, we say, okay, I wanted to be with Gumbops.
Yeah.
But the first time I went to New York and then to Los Angeles. That was my travel, very intense.
Yeah.
And then in the second travel to Los Angeles, maybe next year,
yeah.
We met and we say, okay, I want to sign.
Yeah, I remember. It was a very exciting time.
Oh, yes, very, very, really, for me too.
So what would you say was your first big gig?
Well, first to play with Eva Ion for me was very important in my life. Then I don't know. But, then I was a ¿cómo se dice telonera in English?
The group that starts a show, but it's not the
principal,
the opening act.
The opening act. I was the opening act with my cuarteto, opening the Pedrito Martinez show.
Ah.
For me it was very important because all my friends was there and love Pedrito and
the percussionist world.
Yes, all of the Argentinian percussionists.
Well, yeah,
there.
Pedrito.
And I opening.
Yeah.
Show with my own group and was very, very important. I have a very, I play in the Teatro Colón. Sí, también. I play in the Teatro Colón, that is the most important theater here in Argentina.
Right.
Play congas there. I was very happy. And then, for example, another hito. A little ethos in my music life, for example, was to play with Mayito Rivera when he comes to Argentina. Mayito is the singer of Los Bamban.
Okay.
Then yes, then for example, to play with Ariadne Trujillo, the Cuban singer and pianist player. I went with a duo with her in Israel and in Peru. We play in that places. For me, all that experience was very, very moment, very important in my life.
Understand.
That I wanted to be there and IB.
Right.
I was there.
What is the recording world, the recording scene like in Buenos Aires as far as sessions or commercials or jingles? Do you do a lot of that there? And is there a good recording scene there?
More or less. Yes, maybe. I record with a lot of things, but I don't record, for example, for singles, jingles. You say, no? Jingles, sorry.
Yeah, jingles. Yeah.
No, I'm not in that world
okay.
a lot. Right. I record with a lot of people. In the pandemic was the most moment that I record a lot.
Yeah.
That moment, I have a lot of recordings. I had a lot of recordings, different for different musicians, for work. No, they pay me to do it.
Yeah.
Not only the videos we did in the pandemic during the pandemic was my work.
Right.
Really, was very good.
It isn't easy to live from music here in Argentina.
Right.
Yes.
Well, she does.
Right.
That's important.
Yes, yes. Well, now I'm with maybe the work more important in this moment. I am playing with a singer here, very famous, that is Lali Esposito, that maybe she was in Miami a few months ago.
Okay.
Here in this year, she will do four stadiums.
Right.
A big football, soccer stadium.
Right.
That
big one.
That he put full each day are
sold out.
Sold out.
Yeah.
And to be playing with her, wow, here is the work more important I had. I'm not the musician of the tours because she go with only four musicians,
the
drummer, the guitar player, piano player and bass. But when she do a big, very big show, I'm there. And for me, it's one of the best work. Yes, then I was with another start of cumbia star here, that is La Princesita,
uh-huh.
that first
successful
exactly
woman.
Yes, and but we because of my maternity,
I see.
Maternidad,
yeah,
I had to quit,
right?
Because it's a world that the music is 2 p.m., 2 a.m.,
oh, yeah,
3 a.m., 4 a.m.,
yeah,
very far from my house,
yeah.
So I had to quit my job,
yeah, a little yes. difficult when you have a child, yeah, but, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But was very important in my career.
Yeah. So what's coming up for you now this year? What tell us some of the things you're working on and what you're doing.
Well, now I'm going to Brazil in July
okay.
to play with a sax player that is presenting his releasing his album,
yep.
a new album, and he invited me to play. I play in this album
right.
that is in Spotify, Cesar Roversi.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Brazilian sax player
okay.
that I love. The music is fusion, Latin jazz,
cool.
Brazilian jazz music
right.
I love. And I play congas there. So I will play with him, and then I will play with the quinteto of my husband. That sounds incredible because he has a very great musician with him playing.
Yeah.
And it's the same, Latin music and Brazilian music, Brazilian jazz music and Latin jazz music. That is the style today is the most, the best, the style I like more.
I see.
These days, mm-hmm. Latin jazz.
Right.
And Then I have another two shows, huge shows in a stadium with this singer, oh, Lali.
Okay. Right.
In September.
Okay.
Yes. And I playing a lot with another group. It's a little group of Peruvian, traditional Peruvian music that I play with my mother too.
Okay.
And we have a lot of shows.
Performances.
Yes, I made a group of Latin jazz here that we made a very classic Michel Camilo, Paquito, that kind of music I love.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the name of the cuarteto is On Fire, but not writing like in English, not On Fire, O-N. It's On Fire in Spanish, On Fire.
Okay.
it's right. We say in Spanish.
Okay.
It's a joke.
Okay.
But we have in Spotify a live gig we did here, and they put it in Spotify, On Fire Latin Jazz.
Okay.
I
was just going to ask, go ahead.
No. We start with this group. We start a little late this year because each of the integrant we have a lot of things
right
to do.
Is there,
but it, no, I have another a lot of things. Yes,
is there a recording of your quarteto that people can find?
No, yet.
Okay.
That is a difficult task for me to do.
Okay.
Because exigente?
Too hard. Too harsh.
Yes. Too hard with me.
On yourself.
And it's difficult to me. On yourself. Yes. On myself. And it's difficult to for me to say, okay, I go in the studio and I record. And no, I have to think a lot. And when I was mom, for me was a lot of things. my life changed a lot. And my time cut.
Yeah, of course.
To do things.
Yeah.
But it's something that I really want to do. I want almost to record one song at a time.
Yeah.
I want to record this version of Paquito de Rivera. I wanted to record my song Chamullando, that is a song that I love.
Yeah.
So maybe I started to record, I don't know if this year, maybe the next.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start to do that. And another thing, with the Tal Palo, with this group of my mom and my sister, we have all a repertorio?
Yeah.
Repertoire. Mm-hmm. For an album. And we never record. And we have a lot of songs we arrange with three voices and a lot of things. And we wanted to record to that.
Okay.
Yes. So that are the maybe the objectives.
Okay. If people want to know where to listen to your music, they can write to you on what's best for you, Instagram or Facebook? What do you prefer? Do people want to say hello?
Instagram is I'm more in Instagram.
Instagram, okay. So people can find you at Caro Cohen.
YouTube I have a lot of music.
Yeah.
I play, but no Spotify yet.
Okay. And what about teaching? Are you teaching privately?
Yes. I have, for example, today I had a group of rumba earlier. I have two groups of rumba. I love to teach, but I don't have too much time.
Yeah.
But because I work a lot, so it's good. I play a lot. I prefer to play.
Right.
But always I love to have my few students or a few groups. Yeah. Because I love to teach. Because I learn when I teach. Mm-hmm. I learn a lot.
Are you mostly teaching in person or online or both?
Yes. No, I have students online.
Yeah.
My students, particularly students, almost are all outside, online.
So if somebody that's listening wants to take a lesson with you, how should we tell them?
Yes, the people can write me with for Instagram.
Okay.
Between Instagram, but now I don't have time for more students. I
understand.
yes, because with my groups and my few student particularity.
Yeah.
I
you're busy right now. It's good.
Yes,
it's good.
No, it's very good. I always try to put some balance in my life, a little bit of study, try to study something because it's good for my soul and my body.
Sure.
And then I teach and then I rehearsal.
Okay.
And then I have my day.
Your day is
very
full.
Complete. And then I be mother.
Yeah, and you're a mom, yeah. Well, everybody that's listening, you know, we've had a lot of very good feedback on your performance on our video. And that's on our website now, on the homepage of our website. And we've got a lot of people want to know about you. So if they want to reach you, I'm going to just say to our audience, if you want to reach Caro, you can write to her on Instagram. Carolina, thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you. Thank you, you always. Thank you, you. Thank you, my dad.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes, and thank you, Ricky, for joining us and helping us today. It's so nice. Thank you.
Pleasure, really.
And thank you for being our 20th episode on our podcast.
Very happy, very happy. I have 20.
It's so great.
Thank you. Really, really, Rich.
Everybody, thank you for joining us today. And again, if you have any questions for Caro, you can always find her on Instagram. And we appreciate you all supporting Gombops all these years. We can't do it without you. So thank you, everybody. And Caro, thank you. We'll see you soon.
Oh, thank you, Rich. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Para que siempre estés seguro.